streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Roy and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes. As we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight, so stay tuned in to the hottest radio show worldwide.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the hottest show worldwide. This is definitely a great night tonight. We'll be premiering the long-awaited song, The Sons of a Preacher. Plus, I got a surprise for you as well with another song that I recorded and produced myself in 2004. That's on the Sons of a Preacher soundtrack. And just want to make a real statement to people around the world, you know. We can't forget where we come from. We can't forget all what God do for us. And I think a lot of people has totally forgot. They don't just wake up because the alarm clock go off. You don't just have $1 billion or $1 million or no money at all. Because it's like that, man. It's things that go along with that, and that's blessings and giving God the glory. And that done been out the picture for a while. So with me, myself, I wanted to bring that back to the game, you know. Also, my little brother will be on the line tonight, Robbie, and the Sons of a Preacher song was inspired back in 2011 when my father was dying. And he was 74 years old. I learned I had these brothers that was in prison. At one time, I had four brothers in prison, two doing life sentences, and my brother Robbie came home after 17, and my brother Sidney got murdered after 18 years, coming home a few months later. So we're going to be discussing that with my little brother Robbie. Without further ado, I'm going to go to a commercial, and I'm going to give you that along the way, the Sons of a Preacher joint. We're in the building.
Greetings, my beautiful people. If you're looking to find a great deal on a new home, or you're contemplating selling your current home, I had a perfect team for you at Home Smart Success. That's right, I said it. Home Smart Success, you dig? So if you need assistance, all you have to do is contact Mark or Carrie at Home Smart Success, and they will gladly take care of you, alright? And while you're at it, make sure you tell them the streets don't love you back, sitch. But like I said, make sure you contact Mark or Carrie at 602-799-7344, or you can go to www.homebargainplanet.com. And if you need to search homes throughout Phoenix, Arizona, you can also go to www.homebargainplanet.com. All right? Yeah.
I look to the hills from where my help come from. Psalms 121. Thank you, Mother, for always teaching me that when times get rough.
I wonder how it feels to be the son of a preacher. We're living in the world with the hustlers and tweakers. What hand to hand sales, avoiding them sales. But you was raised in the ghetto, so you was forced to live in hell. Oh well, never fail, cause one day I find my way out. So hopefully I can escape before the feds come and clean house. Penetrate doors, bat around of course, but it's too late for sure. Now you're praying to the Lord, cause you know your heart is pure. You're just a victim of the Lord, of the neighborhood wars, so you're mentally forced. Physically remorse to the pain and the suffering. You're trying to make a choice to do better and move forward. Let's go. Yeah.
Woo. I look to the east. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills, oh yeah.
So, yeah. And in 2011, Robert D. Boyd Sr. died a great reverend, and his man goes to seven, ties with his junior son, and that's when Lil Rob found out about his brothers, and the boy he had in prison, but he had never met them, cause two was doing life, and Sidney came home to an untimely demise, after serving 18 years in the pen, Marvel and Christopher began, on the right path, but you still need that man, so you don't be out prowling. Robbie did 17, it was all because of Wilder. Observe, you may be the preacher of the word, but if you leave your kids behind, it's just a whole lot of nerve. Word,
word, match. I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm not the son of a preacher, but the nephew of a preacher. And every Sunday morning, my uncle tried to reach us. Me and all my cousins in the pew like it was bleachers. Women catching the Holy Ghost, I guess it was they feature. All it really was single women that was weaker. Praying that they find a good man every weekend. Their souls steady leaking while burning with the flames. While they trying to raise their kids by themselves and maintain. And me and uncle both feel the same. Cause all we ever wanted to do was make mom proud with no pain. And the key to life is really just to find a good queen. And when Unc met his queen, Miss Lucinda became one of the same. Perfect team.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills.
Yeah.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh yeah.
Hey, back again at you, like always, bringing that to you. A lot of people I know going to be shocked on that, but I had to get once again God to praise, because all my life I had to look to the hills when my mama taught me that Psalms 121 when I was only 8 years old. So that's done kept me moving all my life. So without further ado, I'm going to bring my little brother Robbie in, and Robbie going to shed some light on some things. Hey, bro, what's good with you down there, man?
Hey, what's going on, bro, man? Congratulations on the world premiere of the Sons of the Preacher
Soundtrack.
Definitely God is good, man. I appreciate this opportunity, you know, that God has afforded both of us to be able to share this with the world, man.
Without a doubt.
I'm believing with you that everything going to do what it's supposed to do, you know. The people that it's supposed to reach is going to reach. I mean, in every corridor, on every street, you know, in the barrios, everywhere, you know. We're trying to do something real amazing with this story. We really want everybody to connect with it in a real way, in some way, form, or fashion, in everybody's life, they can relate to this. You know, we want the takeaway to be, you know, for somebody to take something with it, take hope from this. If anything else, you don't have to take anything else, you take some hope from this. If you can't get hope from this, knowing where we came from, and what we've been through, what we came through, you won't be able to get hope from nothing. Like, that's just real spit.
So, without
again, I'm just grateful.
So,
yes, man.
Without further ado, Robbie, I want you to let the world know how did you came about meeting me, and how did this all came about, you know, from your point of view?
Well, here's the thing, and this is very interesting, because about 2000 and about 2003-2004 or something like that, about 2003-2004, I ran into my little nephew, which is his son, you know, in prison, you know. And when I met him, I found out that I had a brother, You know, this was 10 years before I actually met you. And I had asked him to reach out to you and to reach so I can reach out to you through him. And I guess, you know, things happened and he never did it or whatever. And then fast forward, our father passed away in 2011. And at the funeral, you know, you, my mother, and all y'all kind of meet and like for almost for the first time. And it kind of like we said, you reached out to me when I was in prison. And then ever since then, it's been on and popping. You know, we've been building since 2011, man. Yeah. And we just been comparing. We got the same one.
That's the business right there. So that's what happened, ladies and gentlemen. And also in 2011, like I was saying, my other little brother, Sidney, got murdered, which that's Robbie's brother. You know, my father had five boys by his mother, you know. So I didn't even know they even existed in the world, you know. And the craziest part is they don't have the same last name I got, you know. And we was all in the same area almost in Detroit, you know what I'm saying? And God worked everything out for us to meet each other. And like I said, that's how the Sons of a Preacher song even came about, or even wanting to shed light on the situation. But once I seen the position my brothers was in, and I had an international voice, I wanted to be a voice for their situation as well, to bring awareness to what's happening with them as well. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that I wanted to do, and I've done that, and I will continue to shed light on the situation to help educate our at-risk youths, at-risk adults, because this thing goes on every day, man, that you don't know you got brothers and sisters nowhere, and then all of a sudden, sometime a person pass on, and you don't know that. But, you know, my father was in the midst of passing, and I learned about all that, so... The difference between me and Robbie, I let everybody know I was around my father as far as phone reach and all that, but Robbie never had a chance to sit down and really talk with him or any of that, because Robbie did 17 years in prison. So I want you to tell the people, Robbie, a little bit about doing the 17 years in prison, then all of a sudden you find out he's dead.
Yeah, that kind of really just threw me for a loop, because usually, you know, and the way it goes is when you're young, you don't have a father, you really don't understand the significance of it, and you really don't care. And I really didn't care that I didn't have a father, because I didn't understand the significance of it. I didn't understand that I get my identity from this man. I didn't understand that, and I really didn't care about that, because my value system, there was no value, my identity as far as a man. That was never instilled in me like that, so... It wasn't until I actually went to prison that I was kind of like forced to address a lot of issues about myself, and so many questions arose in my mind about important things, things of significance, and that was one of them. Like, who am I? Who is my father? Why is that so significant? And by me having a daughter, you know, my daughter was like 11 months old when I went to prison. When I got out, she was 18 years old. And I had, even when I was young, I knew I didn't want to be the kind of father that my father was to my daughter. And that really hurt me a lot by me being in prison. And I found myself pretty much away from my child, just like my father was away from me. Even though the circumstances was different, I wanted to be there. But unfortunately, because of the circumstances, I wasn't able to be. But just when I came of age, I'm going to say it like that, I start asking questions like that, like, who am I, where I come from, what am I, who really am I? And I figured there was really no books for me to look into to really read about myself. I said the book that God gave me to read about myself was my mother and my father. My father was not around, and he was nowhere near me. I couldn't read him, you know? It's like the crumb and the bread got the same ingredients, you know? But I was never able to study the bread, except with the work that he left behind. But I knew every time I looked in the mirror, I'm looking at my father, you know, even though I didn't fully understand him. But I understand him a lot more today, even though I wasn't able to extract from his life the things that my brother Rob and extracted from his life, you know, in a physical sense. But it's like I still reach and try to glean things from the work that he left behind. And I kind of try to line myself up with that, because my father did a lot of great things. He was a great man. You know, I don't take that away from them, you know. Now, I was just sharing with somebody how you can be a public success, but yet still be a personal failure in so many ways, you know. And when the Bible speaks about if a man don't take care of his own household, he's worse than an infidel. You know, he's worse than an unbeliever, somebody who don't even believe in God. So it's like my father is, unfortunately, he kind of like fell in that category. And we're not trying to demonize him or none of that. We just want to tell the story like it is. You know, Tupac got in this song, and Dear Mama, he said his anger wouldn't let him feel for a stranger. And I can relate to that. I know my brother Rob can relate to that. I mean, the anger that was in me for so long, because I even wrote a letter to my father when I was in prison. But I tried to give it to my mother, but she didn't know where he was at. So it's like the letter never even went nowhere. But I wrote it at a time where I really needed some answers, and I couldn't get them. And unfortunately, again, he passed away before I could ever talk to him as a man. As a little boy, I really didn't know what to say. I really didn't care to say anything. I just knew my daddy wasn't there. My mama was there, and I was just cool with that. I was okay with that. I didn't understand, like I said, what I understand now, you know, the significance of that male figure that helped bring you into the world. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, what's in the bread is in the crumb. And you really want to understand yourself before you can try to convey yourself to anybody else. And you can start with your parents. Your parents, their DNA code, the book of their DNA, your whole existence is written inside all that. All you got to do is sort it out. Yeah, we are our own person, but at the same token, we're legacies. We're passed down from generation to generation to generation. You know, even though we're new versions of things, we're still part of that same mold. And so, you know, for me, it's really been a struggle and a challenge because not being able to get the answers that I had questions for. I had real deep questions I wanted to ask this man. It's the things that I just needed to know for my own peace. I need to understand. I didn't understand a lot of stuff, and I still don't. And I'm still reaching at the age of 38, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, so I know a lot of people, a lot of young guys, even women, probably going through the exact same thing. Like, because your father can be there and still not be there. My father was there for Rob, but he wasn't there for him. So you can be there and still not be there, and you're in the same predicament we in a sense where you missed out on some stuff, you lack some stuff. But the good news is that doesn't have to define us. You know, nothing we've been through or nothing we go through has to define us. It's the power of choice. God gave us all a will. And so because my earthly father was not here for me to study, for me to research, for me to inquire about or anything, I start drawing my identity from my Heavenly Father, which all of us get our identity from. I felt like I couldn't go wrong there. Even me being a father to my daughter, I said I'd just be the way God is to me, to her. And that's how I kind of like was able to really find my identity, because I was looking for it in my earthly father, but like I said, he wasn't there. So I looked to my Heavenly Father. Like my brother said, look to the hills, man. The song, I couldn't have said it no better. Look to the hills, once coming my help. My help surely coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Jesus.
Without
all
a
I
doubt.
Got yeah.
Without a doubt, look, bro. And like I said, I had to put that song definitely in the mix because it was definitely, you know, been on my heart to, like I say, bring great awareness. Want to thank my main man, Mac Attack, Jack the Mac, who did the music to that joint and co-wrote on the joint. Mac is rapping on there, and I'm doing the singing, and it fitted everything that I wanted to project and the message that I wanted to send out to the world. And this is the premiere night. So without further ado, I'm going to put my little brother on hold. I'm going to go back to that joint. We're going to spin it again, and then I'm going to bring my man DJ Taz in, and he's going to ask my brother a few questions. So we'll be right back.
I look to the hills from where my help come from. Psalms 121. Thank you, Mother, for always teaching me that when times get rough.
I wonder how it feels to be the son of a preacher. We're living in a world with the hustlers and tweakers. What hand to hand sales, avoiding them sales. You was raised in the ghetto, so you was forced to live in hell. oh well, never fail, cause one day I find my way out. So hopefully I can escape before the feds come and clean house. Penetrate doors, bat around, of course, but it's too late for sure. Now you're praying to the Lord, cause you know your heart is pure, you're just a victim of the Lord. Of the neighborhood war, so you're mentally forced. Physically remorse to the pain and the stuff, and you're trying to make a choice to do better and move forward. Let's go. Yeah.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh, yeah.
Songs. Yeah. And in 2011, Robert D. Boyd Sr. died a great reverend, and his main goal was acceptance, ties with his junior son, and that's when Lil Rob found out about his brothers, and the boy he had in prison, but he had never met them, cause two was doing life, and Sidney came home to an untimely demise, after serving 18 years in the pen, Marble and Christopher began, on the right path, but you still need that man, so you don't be out prowling. Robbie did 17, it was all because of Rob. Observe, you may be the preacher of the word, but if you leave your kids behind, it's just a whole lot of nerve. Word, Max.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not the son of a preacher, but the nephew of a preacher. And every Sunday morning, my uncle tried to reach us. Me and all my cousins in the pew like it was bleachers. Women catching the Holy Ghost, I guess it was they feature. All it really was single women that was weaker. Praying that they find a good man every weekend. Their soul steady leaking, while burning with the flames. While they trying to raise their kids by themselves and maintain. And me and uncle both feel the same. Cause all we ever wanted to do was make mom proud with no pain. And the key to life is really just to find a good queen. And when Unc met his queen, Miss Lucinda became one of the same. Perfect team.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh, yeah.
Songs.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh, yeah.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the hottest show worldwide. The Streets Definitely Don't Love You Back. We on the show tonight spinning and premiering the Sons of a Preacher track. And the Sons of a Preacher whole soundtrack will be dropping at midnight, so we definitely want you to pick that up. iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, and every online store, man, around the world. So without further ado, I'm going to break in DJ Taz, and he's been listening to the conversation, so I'm going to click him in. DJ Taz, what's the business?
Oh, man, what's going on in the beautiful hood? The Streets Don't Love You Back. You know, it's your boy MC Taz up in the building with my man, Rob Boy, and his little man, his little brother, Robbie, out there doing his thing. Hey, big ups to little Robbie out there doing his thing. He just got out doing a bid. He's glad to be on the show to share his story. So, man, I'm just excited and ecstatic just to hear his story. I'll ask my questions later. I just want to hear some more of this.
Dig that. Without further ado, I'm going to bring my little brother Robbie back in, and then we're going to bring DJ Taz back in. Yeah, you back in, bro.
All right, now, yeah, man.
Yeah, so just let them know, man, how you vibing on that Sons of a Preacher, man. Break it down for them.
Okay, so here's the thing. I remember when my brother first brought it to me, man, the whole concept and the idea, and it's amazing how God moves, you know, because it's like, if you look at it, it's really lethargic, you know, like, you know, it's cathartic. Excuse me, it's cathartic. It's real, because it's like, it's a chance to breathe. If you look at this whole movement, the Sons of a Preacher, the things I couldn't say to him, you know, if I can say and get out of my system in a real way, in a constructive way, and channel it, you know what I'm saying, through this story, through telling the story. It's like the things I wanted to get off my chest, you know, things that questions I have for him, you know, the whys, the wheres, you know, something like, where were you? I even wrote songs and stuff about him, you know. Like, where was you at when we needed you? Not just me, but I saw my mama struggle without you, and she didn't have to, you know, with five sons, you know. And that hurt her, and that hurt me, and as a result of it, you know. At what point did you stop caring, or did you ever care? Questions like that, you know. And it's like, if you didn't care, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we got the point, you know what I'm saying? But it's hard for me to just really swallow, you know, that how can you have five children by a woman, not one? One is a lot in and of itself for you to be, so to speak, no good. But for you to have two and three, how can you have five children and not care about none of them? I didn't understand that. I can't get that. That's why it has to be, for me, something deeper than that. I really needed to hear from the horse's mouth. I needed him to make that make sense for me. Make that make sense. I mean, I know for a fact I love me more than anybody, you know. And I know if he had any sense, he would love me too, you know what I'm saying? Because I know I'm a gift. I realize that. But at the same token, it's like, what was so wrong with you? Because I don't look at it like something wrong with me. Like a lot of people, they turn it on themselves. I don't look at it like something wrong with me. I look at it like something wrong with him. I just wanted to figure out what that was. Because at the end of the day, he's still my father. You know, at the end of the day, because of the love I got inside of me, I loved him and still do. Honor him in everything, because that's what the Bible says. You honor your father and your mother, you know. And so that's unconditional. And I'm able to do that. God gave me the grace to do it. I don't hold nothing against him per se. I ain't got no grudges against him. I just have some questions I need answers to. If I could have looked him in his eyes one time as a man and talked to him as a man and just let him, you know what I'm saying, respond to me as a man, I'd have been content with whatever his answer could have been. He could have told me anything, I would have accepted it. Just give me an answer, man. Don't just leave me out. You know, I was just telling my uncle a few days ago, you know, because he was saying, like, he asked me something about my father, you know, and I was like, you know, my father never had a whole conversation with me. I don't even remember ever having a whole conversation with me. He had a conversation around me, but not never with me, you know. I can probably actually articulate the three words he ever said to me in my whole life. How, bye, and then probably bye again. That's probably the way it was. And it's sad because he never hugged me. He never once told me he loved me. You know, and I understand the impact that has on the child because I got a daughter. And I do that to her the most. You know, and I see the joy and the connection and the bond and the confidence and all that instills in her. That sense of meaning, you know what I'm saying, a sense of value. It puts that in her, you know what I'm saying? But I never got that put in me by him, so to speak, who was to breathe his identity into me, you know? I'm just going to leave it there unless you got some more questions, bro.
My man, I'm going to bring DJ Taz in, you know what I mean, before we go to a commercial and let him rap to my little brother right quick. DJ Taz, you've been hearing everything, man. I mean, what kind of questions do you have for my little brother, you know, after hearing his testimony?
Hey, man, the only question I must have to ask is how was you able to deal with the fact that your dad not being in your life, the majority of your life? Because I went through pretty much the same thing. Maybe not being the same, you know, the same storyline as yours, but I know how it feels not to have my dad in my life and things like that, and we haven't spoken in years. And I try to forgive him for a whole bunch of things. How did you withstand that?
Yeah, and I was just thinking about that when you said that, right? There's this motivational speaker named Les Brown. He said, if you fall, try to land on your back. Because if you can look up, you can get up, right? And so my answer to that question is, I looked up, man. You know, because every time I looked down and I saw and I looked for him or anybody else to cope with that reality, right? I became depressed, and it just brought me further down. So I looked up. I kept my eyes on Jesus, bro. That's what I did. I mean, every time something down here, and I mean like here on the horizontal, man, you know what I'm saying, was pulling me down, I look up. I look up to the Father and Father of lights, man. I look to the hills. Literally, man, I would literally do that. I get in my Bible, I study, I pray, I do whatever it takes to lift me up out of the mire of that depression, man. Even if I was, because a lot of times we can become what we're going through. We become bitter, we become hardened because the things we're going through is bitter. Things we're going through is hard. But if we can just look up and keep our eyes on him, man, we remain as human as possible. And my thing was, if I was going to win, I couldn't become like him. I can't sit up here and become what you are and then in the same breath say, I don't like what you are. And I realized that if I operated on the horizontal level, if I operated on this plane alone, I would be no different than him. I wanted to be better. I determined and made up my heart to be better. So therefore, I could not be the man you were. I had to be a better man than that. Where you didn't love, I have to love. I shared with my brother in this little booklet that I wrote called The Sons of a Prophet. I put in there, my quote was, where he got it right, I want to keep it right. But when he got it wrong, I want to get it right. And so my whole, if that answers your question, my whole objective as far as that is concerned is, man, I had to be what he wasn't.
Yeah.
So I looked up, bro. Yeah.
Okay, because, like I said, it took me a minute. You know, yeah, I feel you all the way around with that, and I appreciate that right there. You know, it took me a good minute, you know what I'm saying? I'm 44 years old and things like that, and it took me some good years to finally, you know, come to grips with my dad and things like that over the stuff that he used to do to me and how he, you know, raised me and things like that, too. And it used to hurt me every time I used to talk to, you know, have, you know, folks ask me about my dad and things like that. It used to hurt me like crazy because I always thought about all the bad stuff that he did to me and things like that. There wasn't hardly ever any, it wasn't hardly ever any good memories in my life with him, really. You know what I'm saying? I just want to know how you was able to deal with that. And I pretty much want to know how you was able to still stand tall and stuff like that, keep that smile on your face, and keep God on your side. And now that you didn't answer that question for me, man, I can definitely move forward with this as much as possible.
Okay.
With that. But see, you also got to realize, too, Taz, one thing. You know, my brother, he did 17 years straight in prison. My father never sent him nothing, man, not a card, not a visit, not no money, no nothing. You feel what I'm saying? So that's why he tell people his story, you know what I mean, it is a harsh story, but then it becomes greater because along the way he found the creator and he had to continue looking to the hills because you don't know what it is to go in them gates unless you done been in there. You know, we can ya all day long, but in them gates,
right,
it's a whole different universe. You know what I'm saying? It's not
like you're
sitting down twiddling your thumbs. You know what I mean? It's business at hand on a daily basis up in there. It's no relaxation going on. You know what I mean? It's survival going on, you know? So
right.
I just want you to speak on that right there, little bruh, where there's no letters, no money, no visits. Speak on that.
Okay, yeah, man. I remember, you know, and it's amazing because that whole experience would challenge you in ways that are inhuman. It's literally the crucifixion. It'll pull you in every direction at the same time, bro. And if you're not made of what God is, if you're not made of what God is, you hear me? You will be torn apart, man. You got a lot of people, man, that make it out of there but never make it out of there, man. You got a lot of people that are torn apart from the inside out. I thank God that he kept me together, man. I thank God he kept me together because I'm about to make a statement. This is very true. I didn't receive letters or cards, none of that from nobody. I was abandoned pretty much by everybody, but I didn't look at it like that. I think that the Bible says as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I think that's why the way you think is so important. Because the difference between people that are successful and people that are failures is the way they think. They got the same two arms, one brain, and two eyes, and all that stuff that everybody else do. They just think different. They look at stuff differently. And because they look at things differently, they internalize it differently. I didn't look at my circumstances like it was I looked at it like it was a blessing in disguise that I didn't fully understand. And so even with the people that I thought abandoned me or forsook me, I didn't look at it like that. I looked at it like, you know, it's a time for them to stop pampering me. Right now I got to go through this in order to get to something greater. And that's why I looked at it like that, and I had no choice. It was easier to look at it that way than to say, you know what, everybody abandoned me. Everybody bust up on me. That was too hard of a reality for me to stomach. So in a sense, I had to tell myself, even though it was the truth, I had to convince myself that this is what it is. God got his hand on me. God is, because 20 years to a 17-year-old man, 20 to 40 years, snatching away from my mother and my family, everybody and everything I love was familiar with, you know what I'm saying? And that's a whole other story, bro. At 17 years old, 40 days before that, I was 16 years old. I was a kid, man. Snatched away. You give me 20 to 40 years in prison and run them concurrently? And so I had no other option or no other alternative but to look up. I had no money, no resources. I didn't know nobody. I'm in the judicial system in America. Well, you know, blacks ain't even got a chance, man. And then I'm fatherless on top of that. And I had a father who had connections, who has a power, who had wealth and all these things. And I'm sitting in there, and my mother can't do nothing because she was struggling from the very gate. And all the people that I thought I could depend on, I couldn't depend on because they weren't made of what they thought they was made of. And I realized it, you know. I realized it on the backside of the desert when I was behind the wall. I did 10 years. My first 10 years in prison was behind the wall as a kid. I was behind the wall. I didn't see daylight. All that, I had no other alternative but to look up. I had to. My only way of escape was looking to Jesus. That was it. It wasn't no homeboys there. Wasn't no money there. Wasn't no brothers. I didn't know nothing and nobody. Nobody knew me. I was alone. It was me by myself. The only thing got me through that, I kept my face in my Bible. I refused to look at everything else. Because the more I looked at everything else, the more depressed I got, the more sad I got, and the more bitter I became. And I want to say this to you, brother, that I was talking to you earlier about. Yeah, it's a process, man. It didn't happen overnight. I developed my way of thinking because I changed my way of thinking over the course of time. As I began to assimilate the word of God, you know what I'm saying? I read and I kept eating and feeding off that word, man. I started building myself up mentally. Started building myself up spiritually. I started building my heart up. You know what I'm saying? I started building my relationship with him up. And as that became stronger, I became stronger. And my circumstances started shrinking because the word inside of me started becoming magnified. Like God became greater in me than my circumstances until he actually became me. You know, I literally became what I was eating. I was eating the word day in and day. I stayed in that mud. I didn't go nowhere else. I fasted 40 days and 40 nights up in there. It was that serious. The circumstances demanded it. It was dire circumstances I was in. Like my brother said, it ain't no joke, man. You in there pretty much when, listen, you in a war zone, man. You behind enemy lines. You in a lion's den. And it's going to take God to shut the lion's mouth, but they don't devour you. Because every day while you in prison, you can, listen, and I say this to people all the time. You can control how much prison takes from you, but you can't control the fact that it's going to take something from you every day. Every second, every moment, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every year, every month, it's going to take something from you that you can't control. But you can control how much of that it takes from you. I had determined early on when I first went to prison that I'm not about to leave out of here a monster. My mama didn't raise no monster. God didn't create no monster. I want to still be human when I come home. I got a daughter that I got to still be able to be. I got to be able to feel when she cry. I want to be able to cry with her. I said these people have took my life in the physical sense, but I won't let them take my soul. They can't have my humanity. It's not for sale. It's not up for grabs. None of that. I said in order for me to win and be, I got to become successful at being a better me. That was my whole agenda. I looked at it like it was war. I look at it like it was a challenge. Like, y'all, I looked at the whole thing like the devil challenging me, the system challenging me, the world challenging me, and he hit me with his best shot, and this right here was about to take me out. But I refused to fall down, and if I fall down, I'm landing on my back because I'm about to get up because I ain't going out like that. did so much stuff that I left behind me. I had a mama. I got brothers, little brothers and sisters. I got a daughter. I refused to be the daddy that my daddy was. I had to fight. I had to fight, man, every day. I had to fight to preserve the humanity, the little humanity that I was able to keep, man. You know, even me, I didn't let it take it. And the only way I was able to protect myself was with that word, man. I keep that word in the forefront of my mind. Every time a lie tried to pop up, I quote that word like, nope, that's not what God say. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not below. The lender, not the borrower. If it didn't come from that word, I wasn't trying to hear it. You can't label me a criminal. You can't call, that's not what God made. God didn't make me no criminal. I'm not no criminal. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I didn't get my identity or my labels from men. I got it from God, from the word. Even with my pockets, even poverty, I don't accept that either. All that came from the word. There's a lot of things that I learned that I don't have to settle for except because I know who I am. I know who my real daddy is. I know who my father
Without
is.
Without a doubt. So what we're going to do, little bro, we're going to come back with you and DJ Taz. And I got my main man just calling in from Chicago. Hey, what's up,
hey,
Bennett?
What's going on, Rob?
I'm
how
good,
you doing,
man?
Bro?
I'm good. I'm glad you was able to call in, man. Yeah, my little brother Robbie on the phone, so you didn't get a chance to hear his whole testimony. But, yeah, that's my brother Robbie, who did 17 years in Detroit prison and got out in 2014. And, you know, that's how the Sons of a Preacher really came about when our father passed in 2011. And I learned I had four brothers in prison, you know?
Right.
And Robbie was one of them, you dig? And Sidney got murdered in 2011 after serving 18 years, you know? And we still got two brothers doing life in Detroit prison. So without further ado, my man called in to hear that premiere song. So I'm going to let you hear that premiere song, Bennett, and then I'm going to bring my little brother back in, okay? That's my main man, Bennett. Bennett is from Detroit, but he's living in Chi-Town, so don't get it twisted. We study moving forward, and we everywhere. We'll be right back.
Absolutely. All right.
I look to the hills from where my help come from. Psalms 121. Thank you, Mother, for always teaching me that when times get rough.
I wonder how it feels to be the son of a preacher. We're living in a world with the hustlers and tweakers. We're hand-to-hand sales, avoiding them sales. Raised in the ghetto, so you was forced to live in hell. Oh well, never fail, cause one day I find my way out. So hopefully I can escape before the feds come and clean house. Penetrate doors, bat around the course, but it's too late for sure. Now you're praying to the Lord, cause you know your heart is pure. You're just a victim of the Lord, of the neighborhood war. So you're mentally forced, physically remorse to the pain and the suffering. You're trying to make a choice to do better and move forward. Let's go. Yeah.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And in 2011, Robert D. Boyd Sr. died a great reverend, and his main goal was to sever ties with his junior son. And that's when Lil Rob found out about his brothers and the boy he had in prison, but he had never met them, cause two was doing life. And Sidney came home to an untimely demise after serving 18 years in the pen. Marvel and Christopher began on the right path, but you still need that man, so you don't be out proud. Robbie did 17, it was all because of Wilder. Observe, you may be the preacher of the word, but if you leave your kids behind, it's just a whole lot of nerve. Word, word, Max.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh, yeah.
I'm not the son of a preacher, but the nephew of a preacher. And every Sunday morning, my uncle tried to reach us. Me and all my cousins in the pew like it was bleachers. Women catching the Holy Ghost, I guess it was they feature. All it really was single women that was weaker. Praying that they find a good man every weekend. Their soul steady leaking, while burning with the flames. While they trying to raise their kids by themselves and maintain. And me and uncle both feel the same. cause all we ever wanted to do was make mom proud with no pain. And the key to life is really just to find a good queen. And when Unc met his queen, Miss Lucinda became one of the same perfect team.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh yeah. I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh yeah.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the show, man. We definitely premiering this Sons of a Preacher track. I'm going to go in with my main man, Bennett, and we're going to get his intake on the song. And, you know, we're having a great conversation tonight with my little brother, Robbie, and he's spitting great knowledge out here to the people as well. And like he said, definitely want people to understand what this Sons of a Preacher track is all about, man, you know. So many people ain't giving God's thanks and his praise that's due. So with this track, I hope you start understanding that all that money, all that wealth, all them cars and houses can be took in a blink of an eye. So you better start praising what the business is, man. So I'm going to bring my man Bennett in to weigh in. What's up,
right.
Bennett? You're in the building.
What's going on, man? I was just vibing to the track, man, and listen to the message, and man, very powerful message. Very powerful message. I caught part of Robbie's testimony, man. You know, and I was very, very moved by it. You're doing a great thing, Rob. You're doing a great thing.
Hey,
and
appreciate it, man. Like I said,
you know,
I just really. Once I found out my brother and them was in prison and this and that, you know what I mean, I just felt it was my job as a guy who had a major voice out here around the country to bring awareness to their story as well, you know what I mean? And being in prison during a life sentence and being in prison during 18 years and then 17 years, I felt that my brothers and them testimony was just relevant as another man or woman's testimony who done walked the prison walls as well, you know what I mean? And they got a brother that got a large organization and a large voice across the country. So, yeah, I felt it was that time, man, to shed light on what's happening. And, Bennett, you've been with me a long time, you know, and what do you feel about how I'm shedding light on my brothers and them situation?
Well, I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. You know, you have a great platform, man. It's not just, you know, one or two areas. I mean, you are across the board, man, across society, you know, breaking down racial barriers, economic barriers, you know, educational barriers and all the differences. And for you to, you know, open up a part of your life, you know what I'm saying, and bring in, you know, your brothers and tell their story as well, you know, it's more than a hats off to you. You know, I'm glad to hear Robbie and hear his voice. You know, I remember how disappointed and deeply hurt you were when your other brother, younger brother, was murdered, man, you know, was brought down in that manner. And I remember, you know, listening to you talk about that. And, you know, you continue to make the right decisions then, and you continue to make them now. And I just look forward to seeing, you know, little Robbie, him grow and continue to, you know, flourish, you know. And he has a great example in what you've done. And Lucinda has done with your organization and all the other wonderful people that you've surrounded yourself with to do the work. So it's been an honor and a privilege, man. Like I said, I knew I was going to meet you at one point when I read your book, and I remember the metamorphosis of it, as I've talked to you about before, how, you know, it went from GeoCities to pieces and bits here, and I started hearing other people quote it as if they said it themselves. I'm like, no, you use the words, you use that Rob Boyd words, man. That's his words. You know, but you told everyone's story, man, and I'm not amazed anymore, but I'm it's very refreshing, man, that you didn't make this situation about you. You know, when you go and tell the story of what happened in the 70s and the 80s and in the early 90s, and that has continued to, you know, the cycle is going on to this day. You told that story, and you're really one of the only ones that I know of that has truly made that shift into being that son that your mother wanted you to be all the time. You know what I'm saying? Being that man, you know, coming from that era and going to the depths, you know what I'm saying, or the heights, you could say, in that particular lifestyle and coming out of it. And you speak for the people in your family. You speak to the people in the communities and neighborhoods that you were in. And, you know, I'm glad that you're out here, man, because it's a wonderful story, but it's something that to us that know Detroit, it teaches us, it touches us just as deeply as any other type of literature, like a Donald Goins or Iceberg Slim. You know what I'm saying? And again, yeah, you just didn't make it about you, you know? So I'm looking forward to the Sons of the Preacher documentary. I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of the soundtrack, and man, let's get it.
Without a doubt, you know? And I just want to say, man, thank you and your lovely queen, Miss Shay, you know what I mean, up there, man. It's been rocking
absolutely
with the organization, man. And, you know,
absolutely,
the donations y'all give us, you know what I mean, and to keep us moving forward. And want to just thank everybody around the country who donates to our organization. And we just want to say that God is always good. Never give up, because, you know, once you decide not to give up, great things happen. But when you give up, you don't know if you could have won the race or been an upcoming runner in the race. So keep moving forward, like I always say, and keep running a good race, you know, because if you keep running, you're going to win sooner or later, you know. The point is keep moving.
Right.
And just want to thank everybody here in Arizona who works with our intervention program. We want to thank once again Mayor Price, Judge Riggs, and Chief Stahl, who works very closely with me and my wife with our intervention program that's in the courthouse. And that's never been did in the history of Maricopa, Arizona. We were the first ones to get in this courthouse to educate our youth and at-risk adults. Want to also give a big shout-out to our great Senator, Kathleen Miranda, who me and my wife have been working with for 2 years up in her District 27. That's up in South Phoenix. We have two locations up there now, South Phoenix and downtown Phoenix, where the intervention program will be going into as well. So like I tell everybody, I'm not into politics, but I do support the people who support me and my wife's organization, because this organization is about saving lives. And if you're not about saving lives or educating lives, well, this is not the organization for you. We're strictly about that there. And with that being said, I'm going to put you on hold, Bennett. We're going to go to a couple commercials. Then I'm going to come back with my brother.
All right.
Hey, are you looking for a new look and be fresh and hot at the same time? Well, my peeps, check out the Streets Don't Love You Back apparel. T-shirts, thermals, tank tops, sweatshirts, camisole, hoodies, shorts, fitted caps, leggings, snapback caps, capris, jeans, beanies and scullies, backpacks, and much, much more. The Streets Don't Love You Back apparel for men, women, and children. Log on to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com/page/store-1. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning. shopping.com/page/store-1. The Streets Don't Love You Back Apparel, a better way for a new look and be fresh.
Boy Records presents The Streets Don't Love You Back Volume 2, available worldwide on every major site, including iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Music, and more, featuring some of the hottest independent artists nationwide. Check out details on thestreetsdontloveyouback.com for upcoming events, merchandise, and more. The Streets Don't Love You Back Volume 2, available now. Go and get it. But the streets don't love you.
Love Your Back Volume 3 features some of the most talented independent artists in the nation. Available to you right now on www.cdbaby.com, iTunes, Google Play, and Amazon. Make sure you go out there and cop that and understand what's going down. It's real.
What up, Joe? Boy Records presents The Streets Don't Love You Back Volume 4. Coming to a platform near you July 17, 2015, with some of the hottest independent artists in the nation. Available to you on www.cdbaby.com, iTunes, Google Play, and Amazon. July 17, 2015, baby. Make sure y'all go out there and support that, alright? Yeah. Yeah. Streets don't love you back. I come from the air where we move that crap. That was up down, we came right back. And every time we left, we had to have that strap. The streets don't love you back. Yeah, I said the streets don't love you back.
What up, though? Boy Records presents the old school greatest hits album, a collection and series of classic hits from the Boy Bart, baby. You Played Yourself, featuring Pooh, Nasty, RB, ID, Pretty Cool, Sugar, EG, Slim, Goody, and many more. Out now and available for purchase at www.cdbaby.com, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, and all online store outlets. Hey, yo,
play
Go cop that.
You played yourself.
Hey,
yo, you played Wait a minute. You played yourself because you didn't play the card that was dealt.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back to the hottest radio show worldwide. We stay moving forward. We stay doing what we need to do out here, educating our youth and others to a better life. We're going to go back to my little brother, Robbie. I got my main man from Chicago, you know what I mean, Bennett, and got DJ Tass on the line. And we just having a great premiere tonight, man, and I'm glad my people is on the line. So I'm going to shoot back to my little brother. What's up, bro? You back in the building?
Yes, Lord, man. I'm appreciating all this, man. I'm soaking it up, man. The time is finally here, man. For everybody to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's amazing how, you know, it's been in your stomach for a very long time, and in your heart, man, and in your mind, for you to be able to breathe it out to the world, man. It's a beautiful thing. Because somebody being blessed.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I'm being blessed, being able to share it. You know, so I know somebody else is being blessed. Able to hear it, man. Hopefully people are getting some answers to some questions, man.
For real, you know, and like Bennett said, you know, we can't wait to finish up the Sons of a Preacher documentary. And the only reason I haven't released the documentary tomorrow like I was going to do is because I hadn't got up to Detroit, me and my wife, to finish up filming you and, you know, couple other things I need to wrap up, you know what I mean, and also going to film Corey as well, because what I'm going to bring to the world with this Sons of a Preacher documentary, man, it's going to really, really open some people's eyes up, man, you know what I mean, because my brothers got a hell of a testimony as well, and I just felt that their testimony need to be out there along with mine as well, because our testimony is the same, but in circumstances is different, you know what I mean? But having the same father is there. But my brother did 17 years, the other one did 18, and we got two still remaining. So that's powerful within itself that I need to bring to the forefront of the world. So that's what I'm very happy about. But I also got to give my wife a lot of credit for me even talking to my little brother, you know, and he know it because I keep it real with him like I do everybody else. It was my wife the one pushed me to write them because I was bit at my father. He was bit at my father, you know, and I'm saying to myself, I wasn't raised with them, so why should I reach out to them? You know what I mean? That's my father's kids. You dig what I'm saying? And he didn't have sense enough to raise us up around each other, so I guess he didn't even want me dealing with them. You know what I mean? That's how I looked at it. Because any parent will want you to know who your siblings is, you know, period, whether you by different women or not. But for some reason, you know, our father, he never did that, and nobody got the answers why he kept his kids all separate and away from each other, you know. But, yeah, it's a lot of people that's bringing people's story to light. But then our brother Christopher, you know, it was impeccable. But when I started learning about my brothers and learning about their downfalls and things in their life, you know, it was something that I knew I had to do once my wife really sat down and talked to me, you know. So I'm going to let Robbie explain that because I wrote him and told him that. So I'll let him explain that on how we really start breaking ice together. Rob, I'm going to put that in your court, Robbie.
Okay, yeah, I can appreciate that, you know. And that right there also is, how do I say? That right there is also a perfect example of what happens, the disconnect that occurs when a father is not being a father. Because the children not only are affected by it, physically, but they're affected by it mentally as well, you know. But thank God, you know what I'm saying, for his grace and for Lucinda, my sister, you know, being able to steer my brother in the right direction, you know, and help him overcome that. Because psychologically, of course, like, you know, I don't know you, y'all. I don't know y'all. I never knew y'all. Ain't no sense in me starting out, right? I'm good. I'm straight. I don't need that. That could have been the mentality, but that's pretty much the mentality all the way across the board if you look at it. And so many of us have this tribe mentality, and that comes from not having a father there to lead us and guide us in the direction we need to go in. And we're so divided in our thinking because we don't have, again, there's no oneness there. There's no unity. A father is the one who's supposed to, you know, he's the one who's supposed to bring everything together, thing into scope, you know, make everything one and hold it there. But unfortunately, everything was scattered in our lives, including our thinking. It was scattered. Now the result of a father not being a father in our lives, you know. So I thank God for that, man. I thank God for Lucinda in that area, you know. And, you know, we here. We here, man. We here, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely in the building, you know. And like I said, you know, we're going to keep pushing this thing forward. And I'm going to bring DJ Taz back in because we're having a great conversation tonight. And what's wonderful is about it is that my little brother, he's home to hear the Sons of a Preacher joint, you know. And I told him that I wasn't going to start shooting the documentary until he got home, you know what I mean? So I did start shooting it, but I got to get around to his part now, you know what I mean? And going to have my little brother Marvell and Christopher call in, you know what I mean? And I'll record them over the phone and still have a picture right in play while they talking. So, yeah, this is going to be a real powerful eye-opening, man, for a lot of people and for my father's brother and sisters, you know what I mean, that don't even know them, you know what I'm saying? And another thing, you know what I mean, they don't even know their aunties and their Uncle Eddie or none of that, you know what I mean? If they walked through down the street and seen them today, Robbie wouldn't know now one of them. So that's just a trip, you know what I'm saying, at what this Sons of a Preacher documentary is going to bring to the table, man. And once again, I hope it opened up people's eyes, not just a preacher, you know, because our father was a reverend. I'm talking about men and women, period, you know what I mean? And this right here, it could save your life.
Bro, let me just add this real quick, if it's okay.
Go ahead, my brother.
I spoke with him about this too previously. Spoke to Rob about, like, we really want to ignite a national conversation about this. And we want to ignite a national conversation so people can begin to start talking about this issue all around the country, and hopefully all around the world, right? Just maybe, that may change some things. And people just start talking about what's real, you know, and not sweeping it under the rug or whatever, but really making this a conversation at the dinner tables, at the White House, at the at public events, just making it a conversation in music. And everybody really just start talking about fatherlessness, man, because that's really affecting the world in a real way as a whole. Yeah.
Period. You know what I mean? And that's real, little bruh. I'm going to go over to my man DJ Taz and hear what he got to say, and I'll be right back with little bruh. DJ Taz, you're in the building again.
Man, I stay rocking with the best radio show, best community service ever. The Streets Don't Love You Back is always moving forward and continue to move forward and educate in every sense of the word, educate. Please stay tuned, folks. It's going down. May 17th, the Son of a Preacher, my man Rob Boyd, my man Jackson Mack, Winfield, made out a banger of a song to open y'all eyes. I hope y'all stay tuned and pay attention because it's some real-life stuff here. I know what it's like being from the street to be great. I've been there and done that, too. So big up to the city of Detroit, Flint, everybody out there in Michigan area. Stand up. It's time to represent because we're bringing this home. The Streets Don't Love You Back is always in the building. Lil Robbie, big ups to you, sir.
My man, I appreciate that, Taz. And we're going to go to my man Bennett, and then we're going to go to a couple of songs and commercials. But back to my main man Bennett.
Yeah, man, I can hear that intelligence, man, and your little brother, Rob. Man, you guys are going to take over, man. I like what I hear, man, about that nationwide and worldwide platform. We need it. You know, we need leadership in our communities. And this is a great opportunity and a platform, man, for men to come together and talk about their situation. Because a lot of times, you know, to be honest, you know, growing up, we got one particular household with certain situations going on versus another household, another guy from, you know, that has something going on. And they know they both come from different types of situations, you know, that is not the
right.
best, you know, and we be fighting against one another all the time, you know, and later on, you know, people reconcile, you know, years later, but, you know, had there at least been some type of a structure, dialogue, or ways people can communicate and exercise, you know, the better parts of the character, you know, we could do more productive projects and have better community, you know. So I thank all the people that you brought together. And man, I hope that we continue to utilize each of our talents, man, you know, for the greater good. Because it's not about one individual only, you know. It's about what your brother's doing, what your sister's doing, you know, across from us, you know. So, yeah, man, I'm glad to be a part. I'm glad to be a part.
No
Anywhere
doubt.
I can help, I'll do that. Yeah. Chicago's waiting for this, man. Chicago's waiting for this, man. So,
no.
you know. There's 8.9 million people in the Chicago metroland area when you factor in northern Indiana, you know, Gary, Indiana, northern Indiana. So, yeah, that's almost 9 million people, bro. So,
yeah. I already know. So we're going to go to a couple commercials. We're going to come back, and then we're going to close out the show after I let everybody say their piece. But we'll be right back.
Okay. All right.
Hello, everyone. I have a serious question to ask. Have you been struggling to get yourself motivated into getting better health? Well, hey, I have the perfect solution for you on Plexus Worldwide. So make sure you go to robertboyd.myplexusproducts.com. Let me repeat that. robertboyd.myplexusproducts.com and check out Rob and Lucinda Boyd's online Plexus Slim store, because right now they're running a 3-day decision pack special for only $11.95, and this is the opportunity of a lifetime. So make sure you tell your family and your friends so we can all join in and make a toast with the pink drink. Let's get fit. I love y'all. Black.
Home smart success. Home smart success. Home smart success. Home smart success. Yes.
Greetings, my beautiful people. If you're looking to find a great deal on a new home, or you're contemplating selling your current home, I had a perfect team for you at Home Smart Success. That's right, I said it. Home Smart Success, you dig? So if you need assistance, all you have to do is contact Mark or Carrie at Home Smart Success, and they will gladly take care of you, all right? And while you're at it, make sure you tell them the streets don't love you back, sent you. But like I said, make sure you contact Mark or Carrie at 602-799-7344, or you can go to www.homebargainplanet.com. And if you need to search homes throughout Phoenix, Arizona, you can also go to www.homebargainplanet.com. All right? Yeah. Hello. My name is Calvin Jack Winfield, and I have a public service announcement to make on behalf of the Streets Don't Love You Back, and also speaking in third person for our senator, Mrs. Catherine Miranda. I am Senator Catherine Miranda, representing District 27. I am seeking support for my re-election in the Senate. I have represented the people for the last 6 years, but I'm still in the middle of a lot of unfinished business and work that needs to be completed. There are many organizations that are making a difference in our community. The Streets Don't Love You Back is at the top of my priority list because this organization changes lives. The real stories with real people can only make real changes. As your state senator and your support for my re-election, I continue to support and help the Streets Don't Love You Back move forward and be the movement that changes lives.
I am State Senator Catherine Miranda, and I approve this message.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we went out with the Senator, Catherine Miranda. If you're in Arizona in District 27, make sure you go vote for the great Senator for she to continue the great work she's doing in District 27. Without further ado, I'm going to bring DJ Taz in. He's going to say his last words. Then I'll bring my brother in. Then I'll bring Bennett in. DJ Taz, you're going to be on.
Man, just want to say thank you to a great man and a great woman out there, Robin Lucinda Boy, for putting together a wonderful opportunity for me to be a part of. Streets Don't Love You Back is a wonderful movement that's educating the youth about everything, intervention programs, to feeding the homeless, the car washes. Everything is going down with the Streets Don't Love You Back. Please get involved. Please open your eyes. Please clean your ears. Pay attention to what's getting ready to go down. May 17th. Son of a Preacher soundtrack is coming out, and it's going to be an educational slapper. Understand what I'm saying? Big ups to the Streets Don't Love You Back. Big ups to Lil Robbie out there. Keep your head up, man. Thank you for the advice, young sir. God bless
you.
Bennett out there, nice to meet you as well. Coming from the Detroit, man, going to the Chi-Town. Never been to the Chi-Town, but big ups out there to you as well. Just want to give a big shout out to everybody out there hustling and grinding and understand that nothing and no one can stop you from doing what you got to do. You're the only one at the end of the day can be satisfied or dissatisfied with yourself, and I'm done.
No doubt. We appreciate that, Taz. All right, little bro, you can have your last words on the show.
My last words is, man, I just want to tell everybody to get ready, man. We're about to take over the streets, man. The word is going forth and it won't return void. You know, hopefully everything we said today don't fall on deaf ears, man. If somebody hears us today and take the message to their family and take the message to their school or to their friends or to their household, wherever they may go, take that word that you heard today, man, that's been sown into your heart and your mind, and take it out there to the streets. Somebody needs to hear this, man.
Without a doubt. We appreciate that, bro. We appreciate you stopping by the show tonight. And we want to say, hey, keep moving forward. And I'm going to hit you soon. I hang up off the radio show, you know. And we're going to take it over to my man, Bennett.
Right. All right. In conclusion.
Yeah, you're in the building, Bennett.
Like to, okay. Well, man, I just want to say I truly appreciate everything that's been said tonight. I know I came in a little late, man, but I feel like I was also on time. I was able to hear two brothers, man, which I've never met before, but they're also welcome to come on over to Chicago, man, and I'll roll out the red carpet for them. You know what I mean?
Without a doubt.
Introduce them to this place, man. You know, it's a wonderful city, cosmopolitan city, a lot of opportunity to network with the right and people from all over the world. But I just also want to say also, which is probably even more important than that, is I feel the Streets Don't Love You Back movement is about helping people make better decisions. Period, across the board, you know. And I love the intervention program. And, you know, thank you, Rod, man, for being a trooper. You know, you move forward, man.
Thank you, my brother.
I mean, we talk about the streets. Look, we talk about the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, man, 95% of the time, man, after saying hello.
Yeah.
It's all business, you know. And
it's
a pleasure to see that. It's a pleasure to see that.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And we thank you, my friend.
Absolutely. All right.
All right. You tell
until
me
next time.
We send our love her way.
I will do so. And Lucinda, hello, Lucinda. I don't know if you all, can you hear me or not.
Yeah.
Say hello to
you. I'll tell her. She just went upstairs.
All right.
Yeah, I'll tell everybody said hello. But
I'm
going to holler at you in a minute too, Bennett. I'll call you in
all
a
right.
few minutes. All right,
okay.
brother.
All right, now.
Yes, sir.
I look to the hills from where my help come from. Psalms 121. Thank you, Mother, for always teaching me that when times get rough.
I wonder how it feels to be the son of a preacher. We're living in a world with the hustlers and tweakers. What hand-to-hand sales, avoiding them sales. You was raised in the ghetto, so you was forced to live in hell. Oh well, never fail, cause one day I find my way out. So hopefully I can escape before the feds come and clean house. Penetrate doors, bat around the course, but it's too late to sure. Now you're praying to the Lord, cause you know your heart is pure. You're just a victim of the law, of the neighborhood wars, so you're mentally forced. Physically remorse to the pain and the stuff. And you're trying to make a choice to do better and move forward. Let's go. Yeah.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And in 2011, Robert D. Boyd Sr. died a great reverend, and his man goes to seven, ties with his junior son, and that's when Lil Rob found out about his brothers, and the boy he had in prison, but he had never met them, cause two was doing life, and Sidney came home to an untimely demise, after serving 18 years in the pen, Marvel and Christopher began, on the right path, but you still need that man, so you don't be out prowling. Robbie did 17, it was all because of Wilder. Observe, you may be the preacher of the word, but if you leave your kids behind, it's just a whole lot of nerve. Word,
word, Max. I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm not the son of a preacher, but the nephew of a preacher. And every Sunday morning, my uncle tried to reach us. Me and all my cousins in the pew like it was bleachers. Women catching the Holy Ghost, I guess it was they feature. All it really was single women that was weaker. Praying that they find a good man every weekend. Their souls steady leaking, while burning with the flames. While they trying to raise their kids by themselves and maintain. And me and uncle both feel the same. Cause all we ever wanted to do was make mom proud with no pain. And the key to life is really just to find a good queen. And when Unc met his queen, Miss Lucinda became one of the same. Perfect team.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh yeah.
So.
I look to the hills.
to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills, oh yeah.